The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying
to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. What sandwich goes better with tomato soup, grilled cheese, or tuna sandwich? You can vote on that. It's, you know, tuna sandwich is getting boat raced if you'd like to vote. But Chewy did offer that if we take down the poll about tomato soup and tuna, because he says he will, he's wrong, he will admit that he's wrong, if we take down that poll. So Josh decided to poll that. So now it's a poll about a poll. And so far, the people are saying, no, we should not take down the poll. And Brandon even texted in at 800-990-3776. I screenshotted the poll. I've got the receipt. Take it down. It's still not going anywhere.
As long as I finish below the top, if I finish, it's a win for me at this point. It is. It's a win. So
the sliding scale of what can be a win for Chew is the most, it is the classic I win.
Yes. It's never ceased to amaze Josh. Like, just, no. Josh thinks he's going to get you one time, and no, Chewy finds a way to weasel out.
Nope. I had a hand just like that before. I didn't win.
Because I win.
Speaking of winning, wide receivers. Trying to figure out what's going on with the Green Bay Packers wide receivers. Who's going to be one? Who's going to be getting the snaps? And that's why Family Night was fascinating. Not necessarily because of the practice, but okay, this is on display for everyone to see. Who's going to be getting snaps in the team competitions? It's going to be fascinating when the number ones are out there. Who are the ones getting the snaps with the number one Saturday in Cleveland? Brian Gutekunst was on with our guy Adam Schefter earlier this week. Go check it out. Adam Schefter podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and listen to it all. But here's what Goody had to say about what makes the wide receiver room special for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I think the two things. One is the competitiveness of that group. You know, I mean, they really go hard, and I think because there's it's a deep group. I think they realize they have to put their best foot forward each and every day because the reps are hard to come by because of the numbers. But I also think last year, particularly, whenever each guy was called upon, they just delivered. They weren't too big for the moment, and that was very encouraging.
What do you think?
I really don't know. I mean, it's nice to have a five-headed monster.
Sure.
But eventually you want a go-to guy. You want someone to emerge. Don't you?
Yeah, I think you want someone to emerge because, like you said, you can't pay everyone. Eventually, you know, some of these guys are going to have to move on. You're going to have to know who to pay. So you do want someone to emerge, although maybe you don't, because Jordan Love was on Up in Adams and had this to say about his wide receivers.
Who's the number one dog?
I'm not going to say anything. You know,
is
I'm
there
not,
one? How about that?
No. I don't think we do.
I think
all those guys truly believe they're the number one receiver, and I want to keep it that way. I want to keep it that way.
You can't keep it like that forever. One of them's going to want to get paid. One of them's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't make those decisions.
You're worried about it right now.
We're going to attack this thing and
I knew you weren't going to answer that.
I mean, it's good from a standpoint that, okay, like Devontae in his day, you know, he's clearly the number one. But you knew he was going to get double team and third down situations.
But he still got open.
Yes. We just have to see. I'm not interested. I am interested in people emerging. I just want to see which guys have kind of plateaued. And I'm not going to lie. It still sticks in my mind when I said, Jason, you know, everyone's talking up Dobbs. Dobbs great. Dobbs great. Dobbs great. I still have it stuck in my mind where when I said, give me a comparable. And I thought he was going to give me Devontae Light, Donald Driver, Antonio Freeman. And I'm not disparaging James Jones. I kind of am.
Well, James Jones wasn't a number
one. You've never been a number one. I don't even think you were a number two. You were a number three. So that's a little deflating.
And at what point do I maybe have to admit I was wrong about Dontavian Wicks?
Well, I don't think you're alone.
But
we were fed stuff.
But him getting six snaps in the team session of Family Night, that's not even close to what Watson and Reed and Dobbs were getting. Not even close. Like, to me, it's a pretty obvious, based off of Family Night, who the top three are.
Yes.
And those other guys, the Bo Melton, like, he's closer to Bo Melton and those guys, the bottom part, right? Than he is the top part.
Yeah. Like I said, we just have to see how this thing plays out. One encouraging thing right now is I don't think Christian Watson has missed a practice.
That's good. Certainly good.
So if he can stay healthy, that's very, very important. I just want to see, like Christian Watson I talked about last year, not a great route runner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a great route runner, drops balls, has a good game. It's kind of like Aaron Jones. Remember we talked to Aaron Jones, like he'll have a monster game and then disappear.
Yeah.
Well, as a number one or one of your top receivers, you can't do that, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're Z, you have to have, out of five games, you got to have 3.5 really good games. You can disappear for a game or so, but you can't go good game, bad game, good game, bad game.
Because otherwise the offense stalls out.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's good to have the depth that they have, but again, somebody has to emerge. Somebody has to be that go-to guy. Like, when you look at the best teams in the league, Chew, they all have, it's a clear pecking order.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing between your tight ends and wide receivers, yeah. Whether we're talking about Kansas City with Travis Kelce, whether we're talking about, well, San Francisco could be changing, but they still would, if they get rid of Ayuk, it would still have, they would still have Samuel, they would still have George Kittle. If we're talking about the Detroit Lions, we see Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brown out in Philly with the Eagles. Like, all these teams have a top-end wide receiver.
Yeah.
It's hard to do it the way that the Packers are doing it.
And
right now,
let's not forget, LaFleur is a very good schemer of plays to get guys open.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the big plays these guys made last year,
wide open.
But you have, you know, a year of film under your belt if you're Chicago, if you're Detroit. So you sit there and go, ooh, that's how he schemed that open. I get his little, it's like playing poker. You know, you try to look for a tell.
Sure.
And that's all they're looking for this offseason. You always study your opponent. They're the first ones out of the gate you study in the offseason. So you're putting a ton of time. And then you go to teams like San Francisco, Dallas. You know, teams you know that are going to be there in the end. So that's going to be interesting. I don't think there's going to be as much scheming open because you can only draw so much up in the dirt during the middle of the season. You can put a play or two in here, but you can't overload these guys just because there's so many plays going in week in, week out to game plans. I mean, you're talking back in my day where they didn't throw the ball as much. You have, you probably have to know on any given week, 180 pass plays, 160 to 180. And then run game doesn't matter to receivers because they're only blocking safeties or corners. But the run game probably has another 40. So you have, what is the math there? 200 plays you have to learn. And then it's not the same 200 the next week because they don't play the same defense. So there's probably another 130 that you have to learn on every given week. So you can't say, oh, we're changing the whole offense here. Your brain just
doesn't work.
Doesn't have the ability to do that. So there's going to be some fascinating things this year. How well do these defenses now know this offense?
Again, I think the thing I'm going to be watching for most on Saturday, who's out there?
Yes.
Because that's more important to me than just about anything else, other than clearly health. Sam texted in, 800-990-3776. It's not Chewy's fault for his bad taste. That's farm life. Mom makes tomato soup and tuna. You learn to love it or you go hungry.
Can't fault
him for being a great son. Also, he's my mom's favorite player of all time.
Very fair. Thank you very much. That's a win. Did you vote? Please vote.
Fair and balanced.
We've reached the time limit that Chewy has given us. Joshy, do we have a decision? Are we taking down the poll of which sandwich goes better with tomato soup, grilled cheese, or tuna?
Hold on. I might retract it. What is the poll at right now? Percentage-wise?
I don't know. Do you have
it? I've got it in front of me. 95.5%. So that would be below the most lopsided poll of all time.
All right. I'll stick to my bet.
So you're willing to admit you're wrong?
If you take down the poll.
Josh, are you taking down the poll?
I, I think we should leave it up to the Jane Game and Chewy audience. What do they say?
Well, the people,
another poll inside of a poll inside of a poll.
Well, the people said no. The people said no. We should not take it down.
This is
by 77.8% of the vote. Like pretty strong, not just 50-50. This is pretty strong that we should not take down the
this
poll.
This is a democracy here.
All right, so we're leaving it up.
Yep.
Okay.
Apparently, we're choosing violence.
Remember
this morning.
What's a win?
Yeah. Remember, we're choosing violence this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Because I don't think after the two people showing support, Chewy's just fully bought into his take again. He's not actually retracting it. He just doesn't want the numbers. I'm not falling
right.
for his trap.
You're right.
Join me out at the Wisconsin Country Club. I love being out there because the golf course is fantastic. You hear me talking about golf all the time, and you can be joining me as well. But the Wisconsin Country Club is also giving back to the community. And so can you. Swing for Cindy and help raise money for ALS on August 26th. It's a 10 a.m. shotgun start. They've got a silent auction, raffles, putting contest, and more. For more information, just contact Don Tracy or Derek Gentry at the Wisconsin Country Club. Again, I love being out there. No assessments ever, no food and beverage minimums, great golf course, but maybe you're somebody who, you know, you've got the kids, you want to do something with them as well. Pool, tennis, pickleball, themed Sunday fun day at the pool as well. Check it all out, the Wisconsin Country Club.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No, little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like,
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I seen your picture. Chewy, Chef Ed wants to make sure I tell you. He completely agrees with you about salad and pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Agrees with you on borscht. But tuna fish and tomato soup is disgusting. Yuck. It's from Chef Ed.
Too mushy.
So the chef saying...
Forget about it.
Tuna fish and tomato soup. Not great.
Just a bridge too far. Flew too close to the sun.
You know what I'm having tonight?
You're going to have tuna fish and tomato soup?
Ham and cheese and tomato soup. That's different.
Hmm. How? Because of the ham? The saltiness of the ham? Like, what makes it different?
My wife won't eat tuna.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Brian Gutekunst had a lot of things to say on the Adam Schefter podcast. Again, available wherever you get your podcasts. If you missed our time with Adam, you can listen back on Wisconsin On Demand as well. But he had this to say. Seemed pretty excited that the Packers are not heading to Philadelphia to play the Eagles this season.
Yeah, I'm going to go glass half full on this as much as I can, but we're not in Philly, so that's a really good thing, right? As that thing came down, I think there were some logistical challenges, but I think as we've gotten through those, we're pretty excited to go down. I know our players are very excited, and opening on a Friday night early, we're the only one on TV and everybody's watching. I think players always love that. It'll be exciting and it'll be a new experience, but I think we're not in Philadelphia, so that's a good thing.
I don't know if the players are excited. I don't. Because there's an unknown.
Sure.
I mean, if this was the preseason, like when we went to Tokyo to play Kansas City in the preseason, yes, because you know you're getting days off of camp. There's a day and a half of flying, mm-hmm. There and then on the way back, so you're not going to be practicing. So from that standpoint, yes, but to open the regular season, you don't know what the field's going to be like. You certainly don't know what the locker room's going to be like. The flight is long. So I don't know if they're too excited about going to Brazil.
As a fan, would you rather the Packers play in Philly and the game was easy to consume, or not in Philly and you have to search out Peacock? Because again, outside, I mean, we'll be fine here in the Milwaukee area.
Yes.
But I know Tausch is not happy living in Madison because you have to have Peacock. He has no option. It's not going to be on regular TV in Madison or anywhere else in the state. If you cannot get a Milwaukee or Green Bay television station, you are not going to be able to watch this game unless you subscribe to Peacock. So would you rather have this game just be a regular NFL Sunday, the Packers kick off on the Sunday, and you can easily consume it as a fan, or have the advantage of not having to go to Philly, but now it's on Peacock.
As a fan, I'd rather have them play in Philly and be, because the game's Friday night.
Friday night. It's a Friday night.
It's hard to say because I have Peacock.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal to me.
For me, same thing as well. But yes. I think that a lot of people are upset about having to have all these different streaming services now.
To tell you the truth, I do not like when they play games overseas or wherever. I just don't. But it's that's just the, different. That's, again, it's just...
But that's how they're going to make more money.
No, I know.
Again,
that.
They invented a day to play on just to play this game, Chew. They invented playing on the Friday nights after the Thursday night opener. I don't know the last time the NFL has done this. I don't know if the NFL has ever done this.
Well, outside of the game, this is what I think the players know that a hotel in Brazil is not going to be as nice as a hotel in Philly.
That's fair.
You're not going to have all... It's just going to be different.
There's an unknown factor.
There
as a
is
player.
An unknown, yes. Now, from a crowd standpoint, yes, it'll be much easier playing in Brazil than Philly, but players kind of tune that out after a while.
But isn't it tougher to communicate at the line of scrimmage offensively?
It is, but it's not so much hard to communicate, it's hard to check. You know, it's not impossible, but it's harder to check. And Philly's loud, but I don't think it's not like Arrowhead or Seattle or anything like that. So you make do. I don't know. It's kind of, I think the players are going to be 50-50. If you take things that matter to the players, you know, my guess is they're going to have to fly food down there. Yes, they will fly food down there, Gabe. Trust me.
Like with them on the plane?
Yeah. I mean, as nutso as they are about nutrition these days.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying the food's going to be poison, but it's different. You go to a different country, the food is different. Like when you go to Mexico's now, the eggs are unbelievable. For whatever reason, the eggs in Mexico are much better than the eggs here. I don't know what it is, whether it's they prepared it, what they're feeding the chickens, but the eggs are always better.
I got to imagine it's the seasoning. I'm guessing like a chicken egg is a chicken egg just about anywhere, right? Like it's whatever seasonings they happen to use culturally.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think the chickens like the warm weather. And there's something that happens to the eggs. Now, like beef, beef, I wouldn't think the beef's going to be as good in Brazil as it is here in the U.S. I bet they fly food down there. I bet they do.
I'm fascinated. Look, I am not saying you're wrong because I think you're 100% right. I'm just fascinated with how your brain works.
Yeah.
Why?
Would have never thought in a million years.
Have you been to Mexico?
No.
Josh? Yes.
Yes.
Eggs are better, right?
The eggs are fine. I didn't notice the discernible difference.
See, he's turned anti-me.
I mean, I was at a resort that was like making... Whole bunches of them.
I'm telling you, the eggs down there are fantastic.
Maybe this will make you feel better because Jamie in Orlando texted in saying, I got to say grilled cheese is my go-to, but I'm definitely going to try the tuna fish.
I love it.
So you got Jamie in Orlando who's at least going to try tuna fish and tomato soup. Again, Chewy saying that's the better combination than grilled cheese and tomato soup. Sophia Minert coming up in just a moment, but guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Now, maybe you have no idea what your future wife is looking for in a ring. Well, go take a look at her Pinterest page. If she has anything on there, bring that in. The helpful team at the Jewelry Center always going to point you in the right direction. And at the Jewelry Center, you always have options. Whether we're talking about naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Check out their inventory at any one of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or shop online at shoptjc.com.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person.
Batter Up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Always love talking to Sophia Minert each and every Wednesday about the first place Milwaukee Brewers. Good morning, Sophia.
Good morning. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Brewers are winning games, shutting out the Braves. What else could you ask for?
I know. So, yeah, I saw a stat that the Braves had not been shut out. They were shut out Sunday at home, and that was the first time they'd been shut out at home since 2021. So I'm very curious the last time the Braves were shut out in back-to-back games at home. It's got to be even longer stretch.
Oof, yeah, I would imagine. As the Braves Brewers series continues tonight, again, check out Sophia on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Sophia, who has stepped up, do you think, most offensively for the Brewers in the absence of Christian Yelich?
Man, I would almost say Willy Adames. That's an obvious one after last night with the two home runs. They've obviously been looking for somebody to kind of step up and provide some more consistency and production in that three spot, but they just don't have a traditional three spot hitter, and definitely, you know, not one like Christian Yelich. I mean, he's just a very tough bat to replace in that lineup. I would also say the way that Jackson Chourio has swung the bat in June, July, and now heading into August, Jackson has now put together like two really good months. It feels like he's really figuring things out. Rhys Hoskins is on a 11-game hitting streak. So I think there's a couple of individual guys that you can point to. I would say that probably Willy Adames and Jackson Chourio have put together the longest stretch. For Willy, he had a great month of July. And again, for Jackson, we're now talking about like a two-month period for him.
Sophie, in regards to Yelich, could they shelve him until the playoffs, or in baseball, do they need a ramp-up period? Can they just plug him in like they kind of do in football, where if a guy's banged up, they'll just sit him out three games? Or does he need 10 games to get up to speed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he would probably need some sort of ramp-up. You know, I mean, even to just have him DH, I totally understand the question. It's just, it doesn't work the same in baseball of like to be able to see live pitching, timing, how the back responds, obviously to going through a pregame routine and the swings that requires. And then obviously your swings in the game. So yeah, I mean, Christian is still in the kind of rehab and treatment phase with his back injury the second time around. He's not with the team on this road trip. He stayed back in Milwaukee. So we'll see kind of where he's at when the team returns home. But it just, that would be too long of a layoff. You'd be talking virtually 2 months of him sitting, and then to have him come in and face, you know, live pitching in the postseason, that's a tough task.
Sophia, when do you think we see Devin Williams make his return to the closer role? A couple of outings for him so far. They've been good outings. But when do you think they kind of have him ramped up and a full go where they feel comfortable trotting him out there in the ninth inning of tight games?
Yeah, look, I think it's close. I mean, I think the usage for Devin here the first week has been a little unusual, right? It was a full week in between appearances. I thought the first appearance he got at home against the Marlins was perfect, right? Coming in the ninth with a lead, had some room to play with, so to speak. And then it wasn't until a full week later that we saw him pitch Sunday in Washington. And it at that point, it was just out of necessity. So part of that has just been a function of how the games have gone. You know, the Brewers obviously had a tough series over the weekend in Washington. But by all accounts, like, Devin has responded really well physically. He feels really good. Trevor McGill is obviously out. They do have some other options, but look, I think Devin is really anxious to get out there and be back out there in the ninth and in tight games and hopefully with a lead. But yeah, to get Devin back in those safe situations would be huge.
Sophia, are they still trying to negotiate with Adames to get a deal done, or is that kind of on ice until after the season?
Yeah, as far as I know, there have been no contract discussions here during the season.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just...
Well, like football, you try to...
Oh, sure.
If you can, you wrap a guy up like that. But, I mean, my guess is, and I'm just spitballing, he's going to try and test free agency.
It kind of seemed... Because the Brewers did make an offer during the offseason, right, Sophia? And they just couldn't come to an agreement.
Yeah, there was no agreement there. And yeah, I mean, look, the way that Willie has performed, he's like any player. He's earned every right to test the market. We'll see what happens. You know, we talked to Willie about that at the trade deadline leading up to it, of just, you know, obviously he's a desirable piece for a lot of different teams. And he was confident at that point, you know, that he was not going to be traded. He's been very vocal about how much he loves Milwaukee and the team and the fans, and just, it's obviously been a great stretch for him here, you know, like coming over from Tampa in May of 2021. It's kind of hard to think about this Brewers team without him these last couple seasons. So we'll see what happens, but you know, for now he's with the team, he's thriving, you know, he's performing really well. I think the fact that he has started all 112 games is absolutely mind-boggling, and kind of tells you everything you need to know about Willie, about just how much he wants to be out there, and he knows how important he is to this team.
Sophie, how have we arrived at a point where Colin Ray is the Brewers' best starting pitcher? And I don't mean that in like a demeaning way. It's just, I don't think anybody had that at the beginning of the season, that here we are in the beginning of August and Colin Ray is 10-3 with a 3.38 ERA.
I know. He's been amazing. He really has been. And there's just like not a nicer guy on the roster. Everybody loves him. And you're right. I think just considering all of the turmoil that this pitching staff has gone through this season, like Colin Ray has been the most steady, the most consistent, the most reliable. The team has gone, I think it's now 14-5 in games that he has started. A couple of, you know, appearances out of the bullpen for him when they've gone to the opener a couple times. But the way that he's pitching right now, I feel like this is like the most locked in. This is like the best version of Colin Ray that we've probably seen over the last month or 6 weeks or so. You think back to the first week of July when he went 7 scoreless at Coors Field of all places. Now he comes back 7 scoreless against the Braves, you know, obviously here in Atlanta. You know, when I talked to William Contreras last night, he said it was just one of those nights where, you know, Colin Ray throws the kitchen sink at you, and if he has command of all of them, it's good luck to you as a hitter, because it's an impossible at bat to defend. When he's presenting 5, 6, 7 quality pitches to you, which for William Contreras, I imagine is a lot of fun to catch Colin Ray when he's on it like he was last night. So yeah, look, I think you even think back to last year. He was up and down 5 different times, and we forget that, but he was optioned up and down that many times and still pitched in 26 games for the team. So It's not surprising what he's been able to do, but again, I just think this is the most consistent and like locked-in stretch that we've seen from Colin at a time when the team really needs it too.
They have to be pretty happy with what they're getting out of Garrett Mitchell, right?
Yes. Yeah. Look, I think for Garrett, he's getting into his season, you know, like he's only been up a month now. He has not been starting every day. He's starting to get more opportunities now against left-handed pitching, but he, you know, he missed so much time and his career, truthfully, has just been really disjointed with all of the different injuries. So he really hasn't had like a consistent runway to sort of, all right, show us what you can do when you're healthy, right, for a long period of time. Not his fault, but that's just sort of the story of his career so far. So, yeah, the last 2 weeks have been great for him. I feel like you've seen really good swing decisions for him. He's been, you know, really focused on trying to cut down on his chase numbers. That's something that any young hitter kind of has to deal with in their first couple seasons. And then obviously, you know, his speed, his athleticism are great traits for him. So, yeah, I think we're seeing, you know, kind of now 1 month in, like, okay, like Garrett's, he's feeling really good and he's into like the rhythm of the season and the rhythm of his at-bats at the plate and what he wants to do. So yeah, this is a very productive stretch for Garrett.
With the schedule for the Brewers the rest of the way, it seems pretty favorable based on the number of home games that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
yeah. I mean, look, there's only 50 games left. That's it. We're in the final 50. Which, yeah, 50 games left. That's it. And you are right. I think that the Brewers were on the road a lot in the first half, and you know, when you think about the division. They've got three left with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I believe they have six or seven left with St. Louis. We'll see the Reds when the team comes back here this weekend, and then up to Cincinnati one more time, and they're done with the Chicago Cubs. So September is very favorable for them in terms of being at home. When we get back from this trip, it's a 10-game homestand. It's going to be a tough one because you're playing some really good teams with the Reds, the Dodgers, and then the Guardians. But yeah, I think, look, the final 50, this is a, you know, they like to say it's a sprint. I don't think that's really fair in baseball, but you know you're getting down to it at this point in the season.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was just 50 games left.
It goes quick.
Yeah, has flown by as the Brewers are prepping for yet another postseason run. Sophia, we always appreciate the time. Love it when you jump on and talk a little Brewers with us each and every Wednesday.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Wait. Actually, one more question.
No, you don't have to, Gabe. You don't have to.
It's been the theme of the show.
All right, I'm ready.
Ahead.
What?
What goes better with tomato soup? Is it a grilled cheese sandwich or a tuna sandwich?
Grilled cheese.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Shocking.
I think you can guess who may have, you know, come up with the idea of a tuna sandwich going with grilled cheese, Sophia. We'll leave that up to you.
But I finally figured it out.
Well, I see the tuna sandwich being like a messy dip into the soup. I like a tuna sandwich. I'm just, you know, the grilled cheese, the dipping into the soup, that's like part of the whole thing for me.
You know what I found that it is?
The tuna sandwich is harder, unless you've got a trick here, Chewy.
This is what I figured out, Sophia. It's Dairyland bias. That's all it is. It's Dairyland bias.
Yes. Big Dairyland is conspiring against you today.
Is.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening. Okay. With that, Sophia, we can let you go. And maybe someday you can try a tuna and tomato soup.
It doesn't sound bad. It just sounds messy.
It is a little bit. I love a big mess, so.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do. Thank you, Sophia.
Thanks, guys.
Always love it when Sophia can join us here on Wednesdays. Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping you feel and perform at your very best. Look, maybe you're dealing with low testosterone. Don't even realize it like I did. My testosterone levels were low. I was feeling tired, groggy, just not like myself. Figured, all right, this is just the new normal. This is what happens when you get older. But it doesn't have to be that way if you work with Mentality like I did. You go through their process, find out if your testosterone levels are low or not by taking a blood panel. And if they are, Mentality will come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. This isn't one size fits all. This is to make sure that your levels are where they need to be for you. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality at lowtusa.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
I mean, Mike.
Average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
The next edition of Behind the Bucks is here on Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher. Bucks stars share their experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics. From battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Find it at bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Metronome.
While you are getting just blitzed on the poll of tuna fish versus grilled cheese with the tomato soup, you've got a number of people who are willing to give it a try. Dumpy says, I'll try the tuna tomato soup tonight, but only because Chewy is my friend.
Only if you're worried about the mushiness, just toast the bread a little bit, right?
Well, you always got to toast the bread.
No. I don't like toasting the bread.
What? Well, you have to with the grilled cheese. Like,
well, that's with how the grilled cheese.
It. That's how, like...
The tuna melt is far superior than the standard tuna sandwich.
Is there tuna? Yeah, what am I saying? Is that, there's cheese on a tuna melt? Is that why they call it a tuna melt?
Well, that's what make, that's the melt part.
Yeah. Just give me the flipping numbers, please, and see if I took the number one spot or not. That's all I care about. What's the percentage?
The percentage is 95.6%.
I won. Because I believe 98 is the highest.
I think it's just a little. I think it's like 96.5.
That's why I won. That's a win for me.
So you're.
It
less,
doesn't feel like a win,
but it's a win for you.
But it's a win.
Do you agree with Brian Gutekunst and the Packers about not believing in championship windows? 60% of people are saying no.
Yeah, I'm with them.
And how would you describe the Packers Super Bowl window this season? All the way open, a little open, not open yet. A little open, 49.1%. All the way open, 47.3%. Not open yet, 3.6%.
No, it's not all the way open.
At what point do we become concerned? Like, if the number one offense goes out there and looks good against Cleveland, that alleviates any concern about the offense kind of struggling a little bit against the defense in training camp, right?
I'm not going to say they've arrived.
Well, I'm not going to say they're
the number one in power rankings, but it'll make me feel a lot better if they move the ball down the field.
Correct. Because right now, by all accounts, out of training camp, the defense is winning on a fairly regular basis. Mm-hmm. So I am curious to see what happens against a different team, especially since the Packers did announce yesterday that they are going to play starters for how long is anyone's guess. But I think, by the way, I think this is the right decision for them. This isn't Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, a bunch of, you know, veteran players.
Yeah.
This is still a really young team. This is still one team that had a team that only has one player over the age of 30 in Preston Smith.
I don't know. I think we're going to know more about the offense than defense because defense is going to be very vanilla.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, everything
they don't want
is,
to show anything.
But everything is.
Yeah, but I just want to see efficiency of the offense. That's enough for me. And make some damn kicks.
We'll ask Jason about that tomorrow. Will the Intouch coming up next.